Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Vortex, Cow, and Shepherd, selected particularly and especially for me, I believe. Is that true?
That is our theme for this week, Jill, is movies with one-word titles. They seem to be coming fast and furious at us, fastly and furiously. But that's all the theme we have, because in other ways, the movies are pretty darn different from each other, except that the first one, Vortex, and the third one, Shepherd, are pretty dark in their subject matter. But let's get started. I'd like to start talking about Vortex, and this is just a really interesting movie from a really interesting filmmaker. And I will warn everybody right now, as I just mentioned, it is very dark, but it's also very compassionate and a very sincerely made work from Gaspar Noé, who actually is from Argentina originally, but he has lived and worked in France for many a long year. And I want to say a word about Gaspar Noé, because he really is a fascinating filmmaker. And in some ways, Vortex is a departure from his usual work. And in other ways, it's very consistent with his usual work. One way in which it's consistent is that darkness that I mentioned, because he tends to deal with very dark subjects. Gaspar Noé first came on the scene quite a number of years ago with a movie called I Stand Alone. The French title is Seul contre tous, one against all, more or less. And it was a story of a butcher with a very, very nasty and bad personality, and all kinds of bad things happen. Then he made a movie called Irreversible, which I'll come back to in a moment, and which I still regard as the greatest of all of his films. And then a few other movies, and now again, this movie Vortex, which is in some ways very different, in some ways very similar to his previous work. The movie that he is best known for is his second movie, Irreversible. And this is in my mind, it's a masterpiece. But let me tell you, it is one of the nastiest masterpieces ever made. It is a story of a woman who suffers a horrible rape and various things that transpire before and after this horrible rape. So in that sense, it's a very, very dark movie. It's a word I keep using today, dark. But the story is told backwards. So even though the title is Irreversible, the whole thing is something in reverse, because we have a story that begins at the end and ends at the beginning. And by the way, during the whole thing, the camera is doing these astounding gyrations. The camera is never still. It is always up and down and spinning around and going backwards and forwards and doing all these crazy things. And that became, in a way, his trademark. His next movie, Enter the Void, the camera is flying through the air through most of that very long movie. He made a movie called Love, which should really be called Sex, because that's really all it is, which is in 3D. So all of these bizarre things he does with the camera. Now, the reason that Vortex is of a piece with his earlier films is that it has, once again, a very dark subject. It deals with a very, very elderly couple who are both, well, the woman is in the throes of dementia, and her husband, who is also very old, has a very, very serious heart condition. So we have these two who live together, and they both have terrible problems mentally and physically. And in this case, the movie is almost entirely a split-screen movie, which is to say that throughout pretty much the whole film, we have two separate images side by side on the screen that we're looking at. Sometimes the two people are in the same room together, and the two images are almost one single image filling the whole screen, although they're really separated. There's always that line down the middle of the screen. Otherwise, completely separate things are happening on the left side of the screen and the right side of the screen. She'll be going out the door and walking down the street. He'll be sitting in his chair reading a book. And that's the way the whole movie is told. And in a way, that sort of helps to capture the discombobulated mental states of both characters. Now, who are those characters? Well, he is apparently a film critic, and she is a retired psychiatrist, interestingly enough. And she is, as I say, sinking into dementia. In fact, she's already pretty far gone by the time the movie begins. And he has to keep track of her and sometimes go outside and track her down and find where she's gone and talk to people in local shops and say, have you seen her? And they say yes or no, and he finds her. And then every now and again, they have a visit from their son. And here we're back in dark territory again, because even though his mind is pretty well together and he's certainly able to help them in various ways, he is a dope addict and a dope dealer. So he has his own unsavory life, and apparently dealing with his parents is driving him back into the dope more than ever. So we have drugs, we have dementia, we have physical illness in the case of the father, very, very dark stuff. But again, especially by Gaspar Noé's standards, this is such a sincere movie, and the compassion he feels towards these characters is very, very strong. Apparently he suffered through some stuff with dementia with his own parents, and he himself not long ago had a very serious brain hemorrhage, which almost killed him. And apparently coming out of that gave him a new seriousness. He's always been a very serious filmmaker, but a new seriousness of purpose, which I think led him to explore this territory. So Vortex, which is now playing in theaters, is, I'll say it again, a very, very dark film, only to be approached with caution. If don't go to it unless you're ready for this stuff. But if you're interested in this subject of what happens when we get elderly, what happens when our mind starts to fail, what happens when our body starts to fail, a very serious and philosophical look at these topics, or examination of these topics, I should say, then by all means, check out Vortex. It is not for the faint of heart, but it is a very sincere and very beautifully made film. One footnote to all of this, the old man is played by Dario Argento, himself a very distinguished Italian director of horror movies. So it's fascinating to see him do a major acting job. He's really quite good in the film. So Vortex, again, dark, dismal in some ways, does not have a happy ending, but a very compassionate movie that feels enormous empathy for its two unfortunate main characters. So now to lighten things up a tiny bit, we'll get to Cow, which is directed by Andrea Arnold. She has made quite a number of interesting movies, not a whole long list of them, but her movies tend to be very, very good. I think her best film is a movie she made, about a dozen years ago called Wuthering Heights, based on the great novel. Her other movies include Red Road and Fish Tank and American Honey, and they're all fiction films. Cow is, yes, her very first documentary. And it certainly reminded me of a movie that came out, just a few years ago called Gunda, which was a very observational movie about a pig, just about a pig who lives on a farm. And there it was. And all you did during the movie Gunda, which was made by a different filmmaker, was just look at this pig for a long, long time and the other things that happen on the farm around the pig. This is a very similar exercise made by Andrea Arnold, and it is about a cow. And the very first thing that happens in this movie is that we see our main character, the cow, being born. So at the beginning, the movie could be subtitled Calf. We have this little cow which is born, and then we follow it over the course of, roughly an hour and a half, through the cycle of its whole life. And we see everything happen. We see the identification tags get clipped onto its ears. We see its horns get burned away. We see how it gets fed. We see how it goes out to pasture from time to time. And of course, we see all the other cows that are around it. Sometimes we see other animals, but mainly this is a movie about cows. The title is Cow because it focuses on one cow, but we get to see a whole lot of cows over the course of this film. To quote the very, very old joke, they are outstanding in their field through much of the film. There they are. But mostly they're in their enclosures. They're in the barn. They're getting fed. They're getting milked. A lot of milking goes on in this film with the milking machines. And so if you want to see sort of a little tiny bit of the technique that goes into the art of dairy farming, we get to see a fair amount of that along the way. This is apparently apparently in England where it is in England where the operation is, and it's a pretty big dairy farm, and they have a whole bunch of cows, and sometimes we see them all arrayed getting milk at the same time, and sometimes we're focusing mainly on our own cow, and again, we see other cows along the way. Now, the end of the movie, well, what happens to all cows? Because over the course of the film, the cow grows old, and of course, at the end, alas, the cow does not survive the end of the movie, but it may see a very humanely administered end, as these things things go, and it's a reminder to us all, especially vegetarians like me, that thinking about what happens to the animals where we get a lot of our food from is not always as pleasant as getting that food for a lot of people. But in the case of this, it's a dairy farm, and we are seeing again how that sort of operation operates. And it's a very interesting movie. It is not an exciting movie. It is a very observational documentary. We're just watching and getting to think about the things that we see along the way. But it's really quite a beautiful film. In a way, it reminded me of a very different kind of a movie made by Richard Linklater a few years ago called Boyhood, which was a fiction film starring his own children. And it was filmed over a period of about a dozen years. So over the course of the film, we see these actual actors grow from little childhood into adolescence while they play the fictional characters based on them. In a way, Cow is sort of a Boyhood about the animal kingdom. But it's a very, very nice movie. And if you're interested in animals, if you're interested in cows, if you're interested in dairy farming, then by all means, Cow is the movie for you. Interesting that Andrea Arnold has made a documentary. It'll be interesting to see if she continues along that line in future years. And our final movie, Jill, today is called Shepherd, another one-word title. And oh, it is very different from these other two in all kinds of ways. It is a horror film. There seems to be a vogue nowadays for horror films about isolated people. Sometimes they're isolated just because of their psychology, like in the other current movie called We're All Going to the World's Fair, which is about a teenager isolated through constant contact with the internet. And other movies in recent times have dealt with people who are just cut off. I suppose maybe it's a little byproduct of the pandemic mentality that we've all been living with. But Shepherd is about somebody who is very, very physically isolated. And here we have a young man whose wife recently died under somewhat unusual circumstances, which the movie, to some extent, is devoted to exploring and letting us in on as the movie proceeds. His wife died recently. He doesn't get along with his old mother. His old father recently died. And so deciding he's just got to get away from everything for a while, he takes a job as a shepherd in a very, very remote location. This movie takes place mostly in Scotland, although interiors were filmed largely in a studio. But there's a whole lot of magnificent cinematography of the Scottish landscape, bleak, desolate, and above all, lots and lots of space, which is what our young main character really needs to have. So there he is. He takes this job. His name is Eric, and he takes this job, and he goes to work in total isolation. The only person he sees is a woman who comes to bring supplies once a week, and we hardly even see her. And as time goes on, he begins to suspect that things are not what they seem in his isolated location. There is something going on, something that may be supernatural. He sees a mysterious black garbed figure out in the distance from time to time. He finds a journal left by a previous shepherd in that location that talks about a witch being nearby. What is going on here? What is with this witch? That's another seems current theme in movies these days is witches. So, and then little by little, things get more menacing and things get more horrible and more mysterious things happen and so forth and so on. And I should mention that our shepherd, Eric, is with his dog named Baxter. And his dog is, obviously, shepherds often have dogs. This is not a dog who was a sheepdog by training. Eric brings the dog with him to the island, the place where he is doing the shepherding. But they are very, very close companions. And, of course, this raises the question, what happens to Shepherd over the course of the movie? Well, it's a little bit ambiguous. Let's just say that if you're really sensitive to the welfare of animals, although no animals were harmed in the making of the film, a little bit of the imagery involving the dog Baxter is not very pleasant. In any case, as the movie proceeds, and especially as we approach its end, we begin to figure out what really happened to Eric's wife, how she really died, why he is so isolated, why he is so mentally tormented, and it all turns out to be very mysterious. Another quality of this, again, it's a horror movie, Shepherd, is that it is another lighthouse movie. There seem to be a lot of lighthouse horror movies, too, in recent years and not so recent years. The most recent one is The Lighthouse, a very, very good movie, which I didn't like much the first time around, but the second time was very impressed by. If you're interested in lighthouse horror movies, see The Lighthouse. And then more years ago, Martin Scorsese's very, very fine horror movie, Shutter Island, which has a lighthouse, which features very prominently in the story. So here we have another lighthouse, and as usual, the lighthouse sort of stands as a great beacon of mystery story and what is going on up there. And by the way, one of Eric's many personality traits is he, like me, has acrophobia. He is afraid of heights. So we keep wondering if he's going to end up in that lighthouse and what's going to happen if he does. The lighthouse is near the falling down old shack where he is forced to live with Baxter, his dog. Shepherd is, like many recent horror movies, rather mysterious. And the ending is the most mysterious part of all. Everything seems to be resolved, and yet it's only resolved in the most ambiguous way. And you have to sit there and scratch your head and say, just what is going on here? And that's one of the interesting things about the movie, although some people will find it frustrating. The best thing about Shepherd, which, by the way, I should mention, was written and directed by Russell Owen, is its atmosphere. It just is loaded with atmosphere. The atmosphere of isolation, the atmosphere of mystery, the atmosphere of menace, the atmosphere of ominousness. It is a very, very atmospheric movie and a gorgeous movie to look at. It is almost a one-character movie, which means that our main actor, Tom Hughes, has a whole lot to do, but the movie rests largely on its atmosphere. So if you want to see an atmospheric and pretty scary horror movie, then Shepherd is the movie for you. So that is my somewhat horrific story this week, Joe.
I like that. Horrific. Thank you very much for your somewhat horrific story. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Vortex, Cow, and Shepherd.